Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Barbara Weltman is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's our good friend, and nobody is more represented on our website than our good friend Barbara Weltman. She's an original member of our Brain Trust, and there are so many examples of her having visited here on our website in the form of the archives, plus many, many articles that she's posted there. So if you know anything about our website, you know all about Barbara Weltman. She's the author of a number of books, including J.K. Lasser's Small Business Taxes, among many others. She's our good friend. Barbara, welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
It's good to have you back.
Great to be here.
Barbara, did you know that this is the day in 1775 that the United Colonies changed their name to the United States? How about that?
That's terrific.
That's a big day, wasn't it? Also, and this is another reason for marking this day, on this day in 1776, think about the date now, 1776, Richard Henry Lee of Virginia proposed to the Continental Congress a resolution calling for the Declaration of Independence. How about that? So today's kind of a big day in the history of our country.
I should say.
Yeah. Barbara, today's also a big day in the lives of our small business owners, because it's one more day that they get to work in their businesses and try to be more successful, a little more successful today than they were yesterday. But every day in the life of a small business has to have something to do with taxes, doesn't it?
Well, it seems so, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, even if you're not filling out a form, you're making a, you know, you're
making a decision or something.
Collecting
that's
tax
have an
or
right.
something. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
So if you're a small business owner and you just don't want to do any, you don't want to deal with any kind of tax situation, you probably need to go do something else, don't you?
Put your head in the sand or something. But because you're involved, just about every decision you make has a tax implication. So.
Well, I wonder if when people start out, how many small business owners realize that you basically, in at least two or three different ways, you become a tax collector for the government, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. If you sell things, then you have to collect sales tax
right.
for the government.
Right.
And
if you have employees.
State and local. And if you have employees, you're going to be dealing with payroll taxes for your employees.
Right. You got to collect that and hold it and send it in at the appropriate time. And
exactly.
then you're collecting tax. You're basically collecting tax on your own company. If you're profitable, you pay tax. You're collecting that from yourself and sending it in, aren't you?
That's right. And that brings us up to next week is on the 15th, the second installment of estimated tax for 2005 is due.
Mm-hmm.
And that means if you're self-employed, for example, you will have to put in a payment representing your share of the business income.
Now,
the tax on the business income.
Now, is that due next week?
That's due on the 15th.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so, what are the spacing? Is it? Of course, it's quarterly or monthly, depending on how much business you do, right?
No, estimated taxes are four times a year: in April, in June, in September, and for individuals in January at the end of the year.
Right.
So
right.
January 2006 for.
So they're a little bit. They're a little bit. Oddly spaced, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
I mean, that's one of those that you can't really. It's not intuitive, is it?
You just have to look at the calendar and see what the date fixed by the government.
Do you think that takes some people by surprise a little bit?
Well, I think that if you're in business, this is one of the basic things, and you should just be aware of it.
You just got to remember it.
And just remember it and know. And you know, if you use now, you can pay your taxes online through EFTPS, the Electronic Tax Payment transfer system, and you can pay it online. And what the good thing about it is you can schedule payments in advance.
Huh.
You sort of don't have to remember when taxes are due. You can schedule. Individuals can schedule payments up to a year in advance.
And it'll just draft on their account?
And it'll draft on your own account on the date that you fix.
You just have to make sure you got the money in there.
That would be very helpful.
Yeah, that would be handy, wouldn't it?
That would be handy. But this is great for business owners who, for example, travel and may not be around when taxes are due.
Well, and of course, I'm sure they wouldn't mind if you weren't scheduling in advance, if you just paid it a few days in advance.
That's your option, but there's no reason to do that. You're not required.
No, but I mean, if you were going to be gone for a week, and the money isn't collecting, it's in the checking account. It's not like it's collecting any interest or anything. Just go ahead and send it in. They'll take it early, won't they?
Oh, by all means.
They won't say thank you though, but they will. Okay. Now, if you schedule this early in the electronic system, does it send you a reminder so you don't forget to make sure you got money in the bank?
No, there is, you're on your own.
You're on your own, huh?
And you have to monitor your own bank account.
So, folks, be sure to make a note to yourself because Barbara, as you know, in any given day in a small business, you may have enough money in the account, and you may not.
That's right. But this actually, what you might want to do is, and this is something for individuals, for owners, for example, if you're a member of a limited liability company, you may want to do this on a separate account that you put your personal money into to pay your estimated taxes.
Mm-hmm. And that way, there's not the payroll's not drafting out of it, or
no,
or,
this is just your separate account for your personal taxes, exactly.
And you set aside a certain amount each time to put over there, and that way it's ready to go whenever they draft on it.
Exactly.
That's really
one of the problems for a lot of small business owners is that they just don't put the money aside, so they don't have the money there for estimated taxes. So if you can get into the habit and have a special place to put the money aside, you'll be ahead of the game.
Well, the thing about it, though, Barbara, is, as you've heard me say before, and as you know very well, it's redundant to say undercapitalized small business.
Yeah, absolutely, and you need the money to pay your rent.
Well, it's all about cash flow, isn't it? I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, if today you have an option of putting $500 over into the tax account that you know you should be putting over there, or some customer didn't pay you on time, and so you need that $500 for payroll. Then why would you put it over in the other account and not make payroll when you don't need that $500 for another month and a half or whatever? And it's the reality of being a small business owner.
Absolutely.
And I know you know that very well. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Barbara Weltman. We've got more good stuff to come right after these messages. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. We're visiting with our good friend Barbara Weltman. Barbara, give us your website, please.
I have two websites. You can see my books at barbaraweltman.com, and you can see my newsletter and a new tip for small business every day at bwideas.com.
And that's a tax tip, folks, and among other
things. It could be a general tip.
Yeah, I know you do other things, but also a lot of good tax information there at bwideas. And that's Weltman, Barbara Weltman. .com is the first one, and I'm looking at small business taxes. You still got your starting an eBay business, haven't you?
That I do.
That's a new one.
The Complete Idiot's Guide to Starting an eBay Business.
Right. That's just a 2005 book, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So check that out, folks. Barbara, this manufacturing discount deduction that went into effect basically this year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's a deduction that I think a lot of people probably don't know about, and it's typically called, I think, the manufacturing deduction. That's kind of become the generic term for it, I think.
That's correct. It's actually the production activities deduction, but it's everybody calls it the manufacturing deduction.
And so, but the thing about it is, what concerns me is that there are a lot of people out there who fall under the definition of this deduction, but who don't consider themselves to be manufacturers. And so if they didn't read, if they didn't listen to this show or read the nomenclature of the details of the bill, they wouldn't know to take the deduction. So tell us about it.
Well, as you say, it's very broad. It's basically, if you make anything in the U.S., you can qualify. So this means this can apply to farmers, it can apply to miners, it can apply to building, to construction, putting up buildings, whether it's residential or commercial. It can apply to a lot of ancillary kinds of businesses, like engineering for businesses.
What if you publish books?
I'm not really sure how broad that is. I know software, if you make films, if you publish, if you do software, okay, gaming, and that sort of thing, so you can qualify. It is really quite broad, not everything qualifies.
What if you create electronic content?
Well, we're going to have a lot of this flushed out by regulations, which we don't have yet. So we don't really know the full extent of the law yet. But we do know that it is intended to be broad, and it's intended to encourage domestic production activities.
Right. Well, and folks, here's the default position I want you to have about this. I want you to assume that you qualify until you look into it and somebody determines that you don't qualify. What do you think about that, Barb?
Well, I think it's definitely worth investigating because, as you said, it is a very broad definition of the kinds of businesses that do qualify.
Now, you wrote a piece about this recently, didn't you?
Yeah, I was just doing some research on it myself. And just to find out about the different rules, there are limitations. In other words, you have to be profitable to do this because
right,
there's a limitation based on your taxable income if you're a corporation or adjusted gross income if you're an individual. There's also a limitation of, you have to have employees because there's a limitation based on 50% of your W-2 wages.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're basically in it by yourself and you're self-employed, you don't get this benefit.
Right, because I typically think one person is not going to manufacture much. So how do we find out about if we qualify? Where do we find the language?
Are we
better off just to go ahead and ask our CPA?
Well, at this point, that's all you can do because it's only in the Internal Revenue Code. There have not been any IRS publications, for example, put out. They haven't released any forms, so we don't know where this is going to be taken on the return or how you go about doing it. But I'll keep everybody posted.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And folks, you can keep checking with Barbara. But if we're asking about the bill, is there a bill number and or give us the name again of the bill?
Well, it's not a question of a bill. It's in the Internal Revenue Code, and it's the production activities deduction. So that's what you're looking for.
Production activities reduction. Ask for
deduction. Production
deduction.
Activities mm-hmm. deduction.
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 All right. So check that out,
a little,
folks. Make sure that you find out about this because this could be something that could make a difference. And I'd want to know as soon as I could because it might be something that, you know, there might be some tax planning benefits in knowing about that. All right, Barbara,
it's a substantial deduction because it comes right off the top and you don't have to do anything special really to take advantage of it. So it's, you know, it's just money in your pocket.
But I bet you'll agree with me that there'll be an awful lot of small business owners when they file their 2005 taxes who qualify for it and they won't take it.
Absolutely.
Because they don't know about it.
You're absolutely right.
And only because they don't know about you and me. Otherwise they'd be in good shape, wouldn't they? Barbara, 30 seconds. Last thoughts.
If you don't have health insurance and you're looking around, look at health savings accounts.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way that you can provide health coverage on a tax-advantaged basis for yourself, for your employees, and it won't break the bank.
Right.
You get high-deductible health coverage, and you combine it with a savings account that you can make tax-deductible contributions to, and the money comes out tax-free when you use it to pay for medical costs that the insurance doesn't cover.
Well said. And we're going to talk about health accounts, healthcare issues in the next segment. So that's a perfect lead-in. Thank
Wonderful.
You, Barbara, for being here. Good job today.
A pleasure. Thank you so
Barbara
much.
BarbaraWeltman.com and BWIdeas.com. Those are her websites. Check it out. It's almost 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.